Let's try to get David Blackburn here. David, can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, Sean?
Yes. Okay,
hey,
very good.
David.
Yep, sorry about the technical problems there, but we sure do appreciate your time. I know that you're tied up with the Orange and White game and the Athletics Board meeting here, but we just wanted to check in for a few moments and ask you a couple things, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely. And first, let me apologize. I was stuck in a meeting there, and please forgive me and accept my sincere apology for missing you earlier in the hour.
Buddy, don't worry about it. It's just our pleasure to have you here. David, it seems like it's been a whirlwind with Ed and the athletic department the past couple of years. We've gone through the hirings of Coach Dooley and Coach Martin. What is it nice to have some, at least the beginnings of stability around the program for a change?
Well, it is. You know, unfortunately, in our world, in the world of sports, whether it be high school, college, or pro, you never really seem to have full stability. But it does, and you know, we need to continue to focus on getting better in a lot of areas and competing and teaching our kids how to compete and competing on and off the field and get back to focusing on, you know, our goals and not just surviving, but trying to move forward. And but things are good, and we got a great day today.
With what we saw in the NCAA basketball tournament, you had a Butler and you had a UConn. Given the current BCS format for determining a champion, those two wouldn't have been in play. How close are we, or how far away are we from ever having a true playoff system in college football, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think we're close. That would not be fair to say. That's obviously a highly debated. Both sides have good arguments. You know, it's going to be hard to get away from the bowl system, obviously, with the economics, the areas that people are in, and pulling those out is going to be hard. It is harder in football because of the recovery time. You know, and in a playoff system, it would be harder for people to travel and afford to go see you if you were fortunate enough to play, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, however many times it took if you were successful. Obviously, what basketball has is a wonderful system. It does get a more true champion. I think eventually football may work its way towards something like that. I think the plus one is kind of the closest we've got to that, but I don't think it's something that's immediate.
It would seem that money is the be all end all with these things, and a couple of reports have come out where schools, in fact, have lost a lot of money or have not really made money on bowl trips. Do you think if that in these economic times, do you think if presidents start seeing where it's actually costing several hundred thousand dollars just to go to a bowl game, that might stir their interest in a different direction?
It might, you know, keep in mind it's going to cost money to, you know, to travel, you know, anywhere you go, whether it be for two nights or for five,
That's
six
right.
days.
That's right.
It could, you know, right now the bowls are paying, you know, fairly well. And so most schools are able to, you know, to make a little money or at least break even. But you know, the playoff system obviously is the right way to go to get a true champion. I'm just not sure that in our industry we're ready to go there immediately.
Could you speak on how close Texas A&M might have been to joining the SEC, and if they were close, do you envision any kind of nationwide conference expansion while you're, you know, still in athletics?
You know, I don't know. It would be unfair for me to speculate what the conference is thinking. You've seen major shifts in our country. Realignments, if you will, and some from quite distances, given the TCU situation. I do think you know, our country shrinks, if you will, you're going to see more and more of that. I'm not sure how spread out the SEC will be, but we do have such a strong conference and such a strong showing, strong sports, that growth is always, you know, potential for that's always there.
David, I want to ask you a question. This is Philly. Talk about direct revenues. I've been hearing about how much money basketball makes. I don't know if you got the figures in front of you, but I've heard they make anywhere a net profit of $8 million to $18 million. Could you tell me how much money basketball makes at UT? Now, I know we need it for it to make money along with football because it's the only two things that make money.
Sure. Well, eight's a little high. We're a little south of that. But, you know, the last 5 years, we've really seen that that spike. And quite frankly, you know, Bruce had a wonderful run there, you know, the fans, loved coming to the games. We were very competitive. So we saw a spike in interest and and certainly in competitiveness and, oh, by the way, in revenue in that area. So, it is a revenue producer for us, a very important, you know, as you know, and the same way on the ladies' side to a little lesser degree, and it's important to, you know, to keep it there and to be competitive.
David, no one liked the ending of the Bruce Pearl era. We all wish that it wouldn't have been like that, but we move on. And the Konzo Martin hire, kind of, it caught me off guard. I'd heard a bunch of other names out there. But now, after you see the hiring processes at Oklahoma, Missouri, NC State, we don't know what's going to happen at Miami. But how much more comfortable are you now in your hiring process now that these other things have played off and with regard to how expeditious it was handled?
Very confident. You know, these things are done fast now with all the resources that are out there. And keep in mind, it's important to always know who's out there and always watch that. But very confident. You know, Konzo is got a tremendous pedigree of what he has been around and been under. Now, he has to go out and do it. We all know that. He's got to demonstrate that he can recruit. He's got to demonstrate that he can, you know, keep a competitive product on the court and keep people coming and keep people interested. No question, I think he can. I think he will do that. You know, the process was fast, but it was very thorough. And, you know, Konzo's a guy that obviously we wanted and were high on as a large number of people were. And, you know, so obviously the intangibles that he brings and the kinds of things that our program needs right now, I think he's a perfect fit for it, even given that it was a fast hire.
It did catch some people by surprise. The more I see about him, the more I really like him. It seems we, you know, in the history of Tennessee, we've gone from, and people talk about it, for every, we seem to go on the other side of the record, so to speak, the total opposite. What have been your initial impressions of him and his staff? His staff's makeup is different than we've seen around here before. But your early impressions of seeing him actually on the floor and interacting with the kids?
Honestly, Sean, I've not been down there but a couple of times. Been so busy in other areas. Early impressions of Konzo are what you would expect. Very organized, a highly organized, efficient person, very disciplined, very structured, very hard-nosed. I think you'll see a mental tough team, hopefully a physically tough team. You know, and has a great personality to go with that. He is not as outgoing as what we've been used to, but don't mistake that. He's very, very organized, and I think he's going to be very demanding, and the kids need that. All of them do. All of our student athletes do. I think you'll see you'll see that show up on the court. I've been very impressed, and he's gotten around and met most all of the athletics department people, so far, it really, really impressive.
David, you've been through from at least two football coaches' searches, at least one basketball coach searches. Following this last one, where there are a number of different media and pseudo media, everybody's speculating, et cetera, with the use of third parties getting involved here with the search groups, et cetera. How has the hiring process changed? If you can speak to that.
I don't know that it's changed. I think it's gotten a little more protected by having search firms. It's still a very thorough process that you got to go through. With the search firm, the third parties, if you will, you know, that does allow it to be expedited. I think, you know, with media, the way it's gone socially and obviously mainstream, you know, there's a lot more information out there. That is twofold. Some of it's accurate, a lot of it's inaccurate. So you get a lot of misrepresentations, and sometimes having that third party, it obviously protects that a little bit, as well as it helps bring, you know, other candidates to the table that maybe you weren't actively pursuing, and gives you a lot of angles to look at these candidates. But I don't think it's changed that much, Sean. I just think that the process has been a little more mainstream and it's been quicker. At the end of the day, you still have to go out and find men or women that you feel like can come in here and make an impact with our young student athletes. And, you know, and let's face it and let's say it, we've got to get people in here that, force them to win and teach them how to win. And that's off the field as well as on the field or court and how they represent and how they compete and both in the classroom or wherever. And so that's a critical thing. The hiring process is so very critical, as anybody out there would know.
You mentioned it, and I won't ask you specifically about your searches, but in the hiring process at this level, is it necessary sometimes to throw out information that may not be accurate to cover your trail or lead some kind of secrecy?
No, I don't think that's appropriate, number one, to mislead anybody. I think it happens instinctively as people start speculating and as the media, you know, as we've become so global, those things move so quick. I don't think it's proper to do that. I think that happens. And with, you know, as you try to do these as privately as you can to protect both the interests of the school as well as the interests of all these candidates that may be out there, you know, it gets out sometimes some misinformation. I certainly do not think it's accurate, or appropriate, excuse me, to mislead. And, that's not done. It just naturally happens as people, you know, begin to speculate.
With regard to facilities, I think Neyland Stadium is beautiful. I think that the Conzo Martin came in to a very much a facility-rich environment for him to recruit. But can you talk about where we are in terms of the new football facility and the ongoing renovations with Neyland Stadium?
Yeah, we've been fortunate the last 5 or 6 years to see real improvements in our facility areas. We are about to break ground with a phase 3 of our football training center. And Sean, we should have all that ready to go first part of May. And, you know, basketball arena and the basketball shop down there he came into a wonderful situation with the facility down there. We've got good facilities in football, but the facility we're in that we live in, day out, you know, over is 20 plus years old. And so, it's imperative that we keep that as nice as we can. So that'll start in May with the completion, you know, with football moving in summer of 12, which is late next summer, and the total facility being complete in fall of 12. But it's critical to have a wonderful facility for a couple reasons. One, you have to attract the best and the brightest, or at least you hope to. And two, when they're here, you know, you want them to be proud of what they have, what they function in. And so, you know, it's an arms race. It really is, but it's important for us to stay to the front of that. We've got such great fans, such great donors. There's no reason why we shouldn't do that.
David, when are they going to tear Stokely Athletic Center down, and what's the plans in the future for the for track and field indoors at UT?
Yeah, good question. That'll be post-2012. That's another reason for building this football training center when we did. You know, a large number of people, athletics department and others, will have to move out of Stokely. And they will come over and assume the current space that we have in the Neyland Thompson Sports Center. People in the Neyland Thompson Sports Center, which are primarily football related, will move over to the football training center. So a shell game, if you will, of people. But that's when Stokely will come down, is post-2012. A facility that served us so great in history, great, you know, basketball venue for its day and time. But, you know, it's just going to, going to go by the wayside. And what was your second question? I'm sorry.
I was about the track. Are they going to ever have an indoor track facility at Tennessee in the future?
We finished the design phase of the indoor track and volleyball facility. Obviously, we've got to work toward raising money for that facility. But, you know, that in that particular facility, when it gets built, it's important to have that because that will house 7 of our 20 sports. If you look at all the men's and women's tracks and volleyball, so they do need a place. We do need an indoor track, and we're in the design phases of that, and hope to have that accomplished here in the upcoming, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Okay. David, so a lot of our callers very reactionary. They would talk about what good is it to have these sparkling facilities without championships. I'm not asking you this question. My question is regarding to these things don't go up overnight. The design doesn't go up overnight. The giving doesn't go up overnight, et cetera. So it's how long do you do all in your department project out? Are you looking into the 2020s already with facilities?
It can be. Depends on what you're looking at. If it's something like Neyland Stadium that is so massive and so expensive and so important, you do have to project out that far. You know, typically we project out 5 years, 5 to 10 years. We just finished our master facility proposals for the next 5 to 8 years. In that are a couple of things we've talked about, our football training center, indoor track and volleyball. And but typically, Sean, you know, you try to forecast and you want to be able to have your funding models and obviously your design and everything, you know, you'd like to conceptualize it and finish within 5 years if, you know, if funding allows.
Staying along that track with giving, with the turbulence of the coaching turnover, we've had the NCAA stuff, and let's face it, a very weak economy right now. Has giving to the Tennessee Fund or the athletic department, have you seen a decrease in that? And with your projections out, your five-year plans, et cetera, how has that affected, if you can talk about that?
Sure. Well, with the economy being down, I mean, everyone has felt a tightening of the belt throughout this country, and it'll recover and we'll get better. We felt that as well. We actually have not seen a decline in our general funding and donor giving. We've been fortunate because you know, a lot of people and even the top end people are still able to give larger numbers. We have seen somewhat of a decline in our numbers of donors. That's where the economy has hit them, but as far as the overall dollar figure, we've pretty much been able to, you know, stay level par for the most part. You know, it's easy for people to stay home and you know, buy big screen TVs, and there are a lot of entertainment options now, both at home and in other venues, and we have to keep that in mind. It's important to keep our people coming as best we can and be cognizant of that. But so far, we've been able to keep generating the money necessary to have the programs that we want. We've been blessed the last few years, especially given the economy.
Given the different coaching changes here lately, staying on with the giving, there have been some people that have publicly and privately said, you know, if things don't go my way, I'm not going to give. There was a prominent booster that was outspoken, et cetera, no names here. But do you find that when there are changes in coaching staffs, head coaches, et cetera, that are beloved by the program, does it really translate into different giving levels, or is that much ado about nothing?
Well, there's some of that, I'm sure. You know, that's going to happen no matter what industry you're in, whether you change pastors or business leaders or in our world. But for the most part, no, we've not seen that. You know, fortunately, people care about Tennessee and they care about the programs and they want them run right and they want to compete. They want to win. But we've been blessed that our people, you know, care about Tennessee more than they care about individual people. Certainly, you do have instances where that occurs and that is understandable. You want to try to minimize that. You want to try to have strong enough relationships for those people where that doesn't happen. But it can happen. It has happened here. But in the grand scheme of things, no, we've not seen that very much at all.
Well, that's good. Switching gears again, David, you gained a lot of attention here locally for, and I want to thank you for keeping the NCAA relatively away from the football program. I guess we'll see what's going on, and a lot of that's been tied to the former coach, and your name came up with that. You've been, as I mentioned to earlier, you've been involved with a few basketball and football hires. I think I heard it reported that you were traveling around the country for the athletic department looking at different designs, et cetera. You know, I know how old I am, and we went to school together. The ambitions of David Blackburn. I'm a David Blackburn sheep. I don't apologize for that. I'd love you to be the athletic director at Tennessee, and that should no way be inferred about my feelings about Mike Hamilton. But you know, this is some great experience for you. You've been in giving. You've been in football recruiting. Director of operations over there. David Blackburn in the future, do you foresee yourself being a lifer here at Tennessee, or in this realm, do you have to jump out to jump back?
Well, that's a great question. I thank you very much for your comments. I've learned as I get older in life, there's no such thing as security, and there's no such thing as predicting you know what's going to happen. I certainly try not to do that. I've always tried to focus on the present and doing the best job I can at whatever it's been given to me, and try to get better within the, you know, the parameters of what I have to work with. And, that's how I look at it. As far as being an athletics director somewhere, someday, yes, absolutely. I would love that. There's a lot of factors that go into that, and I'm not naive enough, and I've been in the business long enough to know that many of those are out of your control. But, you know, I've enjoyed working with Mike. Mike's done a nice job here, and given me a lot of responsibilities that I'm very thankful for. And, you know, we'll see what the future holds. But, you know, the most important thing is to just handle your business daily and do what you're assigned to.
Football coaches make a lot of money right now, and a lot of times when things don't go well, they'll say, well, we get paid handsomely to deal with this stuff. We've seen here lately with all this turbulence that Mike Hamilton has come under a lot of scrutiny, and frankly, there's been a lot of people that have that would prefer to see him removed, whether that's a reaction or not. Is that just part of the business of being an athletic director at a major school these days?
Well, I think that's part of the business of being in any position where it's so public, whether it be politics or whether it be, you know, in sports. You know, there's a whole section of the paper that talks about what we do. And so that's going to happen, whether it be at the coaching level, whether it be at, you know, the mayoral level or certainly athletics director level, that some of that's going to happen. So you do have to make decisions that are in the best interest of the school and of the athletics department, of the state, of the kids, of the student athletes. And so, you know, but sometimes when you do that, you do come under scrutiny, and that's part of it.
You've got a complete showcase today for the athletic department in the orange and white game here. It looks like we're going to have nice weather at least. Hopefully the rain holds off. What are y'all anticipating as far as a crowd? And someone asked this question. In years past, I think that there was no charge to get in. I think there's going to be a charge here, and the money will go to other parts of the university. Can you talk about how the decisions are made, whether to charge, not to charge, et cetera, please?
Sure. Well, those are made, you know, by a composite of a number of people. A few years ago, we did that. We opened it up, which I think is a nice thing to be able to do that. This year we're charging. Keep in mind that, you know, we feel a responsibility too to help out the general university. You know, we give back just shy of about $7 million to the institution, and I think that's important that we do that. So there's a greater good here, you know, and by charging, obviously that helps that. It would be nice to just not charge anything and to let people come in, but sometimes that's not you know, practical, given what some of our obligations are. And I think the obligation back to the institution is necessary. I think it's the right thing to do. And there are other obligations, obviously, that we have. But, you know, there's a lot of people involved in that process. And so that's what we're doing today. It is a beautiful day as the weather's broke this morning. I have no idea the crowd that we'll have. Hopefully it'll be, you know, 25 or 30,000. And you know, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, so hopefully people will come on out.
Well, I hope so. Dave, we sure do appreciate your time. Phil said earlier before you were on that the analogy was you are a utility player, and that's not to diminish your role. I think that's a high compliment that no matter where you're, whatever fire you're asked to put out, you do put it out, and you make all of us proud. We thank you for your time. I hope there is a big crowd out there. And if one day you are the athletic director at a school, no one will be smiling bigger than I will be. So thanks again, and take care, buddy. Thanks for being a friend of our program.
Well, Sean, thank you. You're very kind. I really appreciate it. And again, I apologize for being later. Take care. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, David. Sounds like we got a little wind there, Phil.
He must have had a cowman cell phone.
Exactly.